So not only are we welcoming all of you all, but those who are watching online from every place all across the country, we have lots of people watching. So glad you're part of our church body wherever you are. And I can't wait to get to where we are here in Matthew in this message from Matthew chapter 14 already. Can't believe it. It's going so fast. So we got a lot of ground to cover. I'm going to share one of the most familiar miracles of Jesus that we may know about. It's so familiar. It's recorded in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each with their own reflective way of sharing what happened in the story. But let me set the scene up for us. The disciples have been out doing a lot of ministry with the power and authority and the love of Jesus that has been granted them at this point in the life and ministry of Jesus. And they're eager to share what has happened as they've gone out in the name of Jesus, healing and bringing the good news to people like we want to do ourselves. And so during this time, Jesus also received the spiritual or the dreadful news, actually, of the death of John the Baptist, his beloved friend and cousin and forerunner who set the pace for Jesus on the earth. John had been beheaded in prison at this point, and Jesus got the news. And we shared a lot about John's story in the last few weeks. And I'm confident that Jesus received this news with such a depth of grief, especially around the way John died in prison. And so, Jesus' heart would be very heavy. But the disciples' hearts, while they would be heavy about John the Baptist, are also really light and eager to share with Jesus what the Holy Spirit has been doing through them and around them and all these things. So what a contrast. But when you receive heavy news, don't you often say, man, I think we just need to get away. And maybe it's get away for a few days. Maybe it's get away for a few hours. It doesn't matter. But whenever you get something that you just don't really enjoy hearing or something that just troubles your heart, we've often been known to say, I just need some time away. And this was definitely a time for a retreat and some reflective conversation with the 12 disciples. Just Jesus and the 12, it didn't work out that way. Matthew 14, verse 13 says, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. So this was a perfect retreat setting, by the way. Other accounts, the gospel accounts, say the disciples went with him. And some even say, I think they went with him in the boat. But Matthew just says Jesus departed in the boat and went to be alone. But most of us are drawn to water, lakes, rivers, oceans, doesn't matter. A lot of our vacations are centered around water. Is that true for you? It is for me. Love every bit of it. There's just something magnetic, isn't there, about looking out over a body of water. And you go, oh, this is so peaceful, and they're no different. So picture this, where about 2 miles north of where the Jordan River enters the Sea of Galilee near Bethsaida Julius, which you and I may not be too familiar with, there's this wide grassy plain. And to the north of that, there's a hill which Jesus and his disciples likely came to, like that just overlooked the lake, so they could get into this grassy space, this sloping hill, and it overlooks the lake, and it's just perfect. And not to mention, the Passover feast was also going on around this time, and so there were lots of people who were definitely in the region who had come to celebrate the Passover. So the problem was, as people saw the disciples go to the other side of the lake with Jesus, they made their way around the corner of the lake, and some of them got in boats and traveled and followed them. Some people even arrived on the other side of the lake before Jesus and his disciples even got there. And so when they get there, that's why it says when Jesus saw the crowds, you're kidding, the crowds, he had compassion on them. That's a little bit different than maybe you and I would respond. I think we would say, you've got to be kidding. You know, we have a different response when our vacations are interrupted, yes? Anybody ever have your vacation interrupted? Maybe you had a perfect plan and you looked at the forecast before you got there. Rain, every single day, 90% chance, and you're tent camping. Isn't it going to be grand? How many of you done? Some of us have done it, and we said, we're doing it anyway. And then the first night, your tent is so soaked, and everything in that tent is so wet. And you defy nature by going to a hotel, and you just go into a space, and that's what you do. And you go, what a disaster. Or maybe you have a little tiny child, and you're going to drop that child off at Nana and Papa's house, which we love, by the way, and when you're on your way, your little one just isn't doing too well in the back seat, and they get worse and worse, and you don't even get to Nana's house, and you just turn the car around. It was supposed to be your husband and wife getaway, you know, what we all need, and it doesn't happen. That's the worst thing, turning around and heading for home when you're supposed to be heading for a getaway. Or maybe it gets interrupted the way Jesus and his disciples were interrupted. And when he saw the crowds, he didn't say, you've got to be kidding. Matthew tells us he had compassion on them and immediately began to heal their sick. And I think it went on for some time because Jesus would not turn anybody away. He just would welcome people. He had compassion on them. Another gospel account says Jesus also taught them many things about the kingdom of God. This is really important. Jesus wasn't just healing them and taking care of their physical needs. He was teaching them about the kingdom of God. And there was one more piece that seems to accompany much of the ministry of Jesus wherever he goes, and that's food. Don't miss this. There was teaching, and there's healing, and there's food. Three cheers for food. There's so much that goes on around food. We had a conversation downtown with somebody who yesterday they were getting ice cream. It had no dairy in it, and I could never fathom that, but it had no dairy in it. And they said it was good. But we just had a fairly long conversation right on the sidewalk. We didn't know them from anybody, but it was centered around their food. It was really easy. Really easy to go up to someone and say, hey, is that good? How's it taste? And they can't hardly talk, but they're trying to talk even while they're licking, and they don't even know who you are. That's what food does. It just breaks the ice. It provides a really good way to enter into a discussion. So keep that in mind, teaching, healing, and food. And any one of those three things can open a door for you and I to talk about Jesus, any one of them. So they're in no particular order. It's exactly what may accompany our ministry when we take it seriously. And sometimes we think, I got to get out and I got to say this. I got to go through this list. No, you don't. Just get an ice cream cone and walk up and talk or find someone who's eating one and see if you can have some. And no, you wouldn't want to do that. That'd ruin your opportunity. But at least you don't have to have a list. You don't have to have a document. Just see what Jesus does with an ice cream cone. There's no particular order. There will be teaching. There will be healing, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. There will be eating and drinking. We should not complicate it much beyond that. Don't complicate it with all your angst or my angst about what am I going to say? You don't have to worry about it. I want red raspberry. That's what I would say. It's that easy. And we start the ball by getting to know who we're talking to. We can encounter people over where they are in multiple settings, like fishing or hiking or over a cup of coffee. So I think we get the point. Let's go on with verse 15. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves. At least we'll get a little peace and quiet, I think they were thinking. But Jesus said, that's not necessary. You feed them. But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here, Jesus said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass, and Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looked up toward heaven and blessed them. And then breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted. And afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and the children. So Jesus is setting up for a miraculous multiplication. And he's wanting to do that, don't miss this, through you and me too. This is not just a story about Jesus performing a miracle. He's saying, I want you to hear this story so you can see the miraculous power that I have, that I give to you, so that you can see a multiplying ministry of the gospel of Jesus. That's what I think this is all about for us. So he takes on what looks like an impossible situation, so much so that in John's gospel, in the account of John, or when John writes about this same story, Philip, one of Jesus' disciples, just butts in and says, good grief, 8 months' wages wouldn't even be enough to feed all these people in front of us, enough for them to even get a single bite. John also tells us that Andrew, another disciple, famous for bringing someone else to Jesus. Does anybody know who Andrew is? And does anybody know who Andrew brought to Jesus? Andrew brought his brother. Anybody know Andrew's brother's name? If you do, shout it out. No, Peter. Andrew, Peter. And who's Peter? Yeah, Peter's one of the most famous disciples of Jesus. He's one of the inner circle dudes. You know, he wrote book and everything. And Andrew is famous for introducing people to Jesus. One was Peter, and another were a group of 12 Greek people who wanted to see and hear about Jesus. So Andrew does exactly what Jesus asks them to do, and he commandeers a boy and his lunch of 5 loaves and 2 small fish. And the bread is described as like these little round cakes of bread that are only about 4 inches maybe in diameter. And the fish were not fish, they were fish like sardines, like a relish maybe they put on the bread or something like that. And so this is what you got, Jesus. What are you going to do now? It wasn't even enough for one boy, hardly. And in one of the accounts that we read of the Gospels, Jesus says to the disciples, have all the people sit down in groups of 50s and hundreds all over the grassy plain here. So we're talking about 15,000 people at least, because of the men and their wives and children. And crowds came because crowds heard what Jesus did. That's why they came. Don't miss that. If you have something that Jesus did in your life, tell somebody about it. If he's bringing peace into your life, if he's brought you joy and it's real joy, tell somebody about it. They're going to want to know where you got it from. They want to know where you got it, don't they? Amen. Yeah, they do, because so many people are so joyless today. They're walking around with sad faces and anxious hearts, and we're seeing it all the time. Doggone it, we have Jesus. If you have, that wasn't nice to say, but if you have Jesus, share him. He is our joy. He is our peace. He is our righteousness. He's everything we need, and we should tell people about him. And if we tell people about him over an ice cream cone or a cup of coffee, and we just say, I got to tell you what's going on in my life, Jesus has made such a difference, you will start to attract crowds of people who go, how'd that happen? How'd that happen? How'd that happen? I am so tired of Christians not attracting crowds. In fact, we repel people sometimes. And on the contrary, we're so afraid to speak up and say, this is my joy. Jesus is my joy. I just want to tell you who he is. Find an opening. Find a way. Don't worry about how people are going to receive you. You and I don't have to worry about being weird. Just be someone who steps into a discussion and offers people
the truth of what we have inside of our hearts. And so crowds came to him because they heard about what he was doing. And Jesus had not disappointed anyone who had come to see him up to now. He healed their sick and taught them about the kingdom of God and kingdom of God living. And you should choose or want to hear about kingdom of God living also if you haven't, especially if your life is confusing or messed up. Choose kingdom of God living and everything's going to change for you. It doesn't mean perfection. It doesn't mean no trouble. It may not even mean that you won't suffer. In fact, you probably will still suffer, but you'll find joy even in your suffering. That's the truth of kingdom of God living. Because Jesus is better. Follow him. You can start kingdom living as soon as you say yes to follow him. So with all the people sitting wonderfully on the grass, waiting for what's going to happen next, some of them see Jesus lifting up this bread and the fish to his father. Not everybody could see it. There were 15,000 people spread all over. But some people saw him praying over this fish and this bread, and he gives it to his disciples, like just starts handing it out to them, and they just keep taking it and walking around with it and distributing it to person after person after person, men, women, and children. Never stops distributing until everybody has had more than they can eat, and then they collect 12 basketfuls left over. Yip, yip, hooray. You know, do you think they were excited? Do you think, it's like, who brought the food truck in? I'm sure they were wondering, you know, where did all this come from? Where are the boats that had all this packed on it? And they go, there weren't any. How did it happen? Jesus did it. How did he do that? We don't know. He just did it. He just kept doing it. And Jesus was famous for multiplying. Maybe you know the story of when Jesus said to his disciples, brothers or friends, do you have any fish? And they said, no, we've been fishing all night. Remember that story? And Jesus said, throw your net on the other side of the boat. What do you think they were thinking? No, really. What do you think they were thinking? The boat's only 15 feet across, and you think that's going to matter? It did. Remember? Remember the story? The net was so full. It broke, started to break. I think 153 fish, disciples are going crazy. Jesus was also famous for another multiplication scene when he did his first miracle, turning water into wine. Remember that one? Ooh, party. It was going to be a fun deal. See, huge jugs of water. And there was jug after jug after jug, and Jesus turned it into a jug of wine after wine after wine. And you know what happened. And the people go, wow, this wasn't just watered down wine. This was the best wine we've ever had in our lives. And you brought it out after the people had too much to drink. It's true. It's right in there. It's right in the gospel. It's right in there, isn't it? Isn't it? It is. Why do you think he did that? Oh, there's some big theological meaning. I think there probably is. But I think he just loved the people he was with, and he loved his mom. And his mom said, you need to do something about this. They're running out of wine. And there was a few more pieces to it, and I know we're not talking about that today. With Jesus, it's always best. Jesus is always better. Sometimes Jesus will ask us to do strange things or speak to someone we don't even know or give a cup of cold water in his name. Do it. My wife just does that stuff. And I'm not skeptical or cynical. Yes, I am. I go, what do you think? Why'd you do that? Just because I always do. And she has stuff in the glove compartment that she's just gonna give out. She just does it. And it's not up to her what that person does with what she gave him or her. It's what God wants to do in the blessing. So give somebody a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, and don't be so cynical like I am sometimes and say, why isn't that person working? They look like they could work. Anybody ever said that before? Yeah. We know who we are. So there's a multiplication miracle going on, and we're praying for that here at East Point. We've seen hundreds of people accept and follow Jesus through the ministry of this church family. That's true. Yesterday, we went out on the streets of Greater Portland through our Learn, Go, and Tell conference, and there were about 40
plus people who gathered and learned, and then we went and then we told. And people prayed over multiple people all over Greater Portland, all over Kennedy Park, in Westbrook. People went out and they were meeting people who were eating ice cream. That's how I met those people. And then we prayed over a guy who was planting a garden. That was my group. And he was a believer for sure. And I thought maybe he had a mental illness, because he was, when we were coming up to him, he was already speaking out, and I don't know what he was, who he was talking to. Nobody was around, and there was dirt that had been turned over by a spade, not a rototiller, a spade, and he was sweating. So we talked to him, and we talked about Jesus, and he said, I believe. And then we prayed over him and prayed over his garden, which was in this small spot right in the dead center of downtown Portland, you know, or wherever we were. And when we left, we heard him singing joyfully, even more. Like we could hear him as we were walking. Who do you think was blessed in that encounter? And so multiple people found multiple people and prayed over them, and just praying for neighborhoods and praying for God to do miraculous things. Really cool stuff. I got to keep going. All right. So in the spirit of conversation of Jesus multiplying, I'm going to continue a story we started about 2 years ago, well, actually 2 Easters ago, when Katie Spotts was baptized and declared her Savior to be Jesus and her Lord to be Jesus. And her story is very unique in that it contains some crazy extreme endurance adventures, like rowing across the Atlantic Ocean alone in a modified rowboat for over 2 months alone in the Atlantic Ocean alone. Did I tell you? She was alone. There's nobody following her. She just did it. And why was she doing it? She was doing it for safe drinking water projects all across the world. And so she raised like $250,000 for that adventure alone. That was before she knew Jesus. Things change when you get to know Jesus. There's a different motive. In fact, she was introduced by a friend in Ohio to Jesus, and when she came here to serve in the Coast Guard, she found that our church family was a great place for her to come and pick up where she left off, and she discovered who Jesus was, and again, made Jesus her Lord and Savior, which she would have been wise to have prior when she was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean alone. So, but Jesus saw her through that, and that was a good thing for her, but this story is simply highlighting something you might not think. I'm not highlighting her extreme endurance events, like when she ran 138 miles across the state of Maine nonstop. That was pretty amazing, isn't it? Or she biked from Seattle, Washington to Washington, D.C. And just yesterday she rode across Connecticut before coming here to speak. But that's not what I want to talk about. I'm tracking with what it's like to be a follower of Jesus now that she's chosen to follow Jesus and continues on with these events to raise funds for clean drinking water in parts of the world where that doesn't happen. So I'm just going to invite her out. So please welcome Katie, and we'll get to know more about her journey and her following of Jesus, so she can come out now. This would be a good time. Yeah, hey, come on out. Yeah. So just to put it mildly, when we get to know Jesus, there is a multiplication for sure that takes place that we're going to keep talking about it even as we just share with Katie. I'm going to ask a bunch of questions and she's going to answer for you, but it's going to be far more centered around Jesus. So a big piece of why we're doing this interview is to see how God's going to use you and has used you to share Jesus. And as I understand it, those who need clean water, there are connections with them and Jesus. So talk about that for me a little bit. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but can you just say what that's like for you to have Jesus connected now in all this adventure?
Yeah, so I was doing adventure and raising money for clean water before Jesus was a part of my life. And so I'm still doing those things. So it may seem like, well, you're doing the same things. How is anything different? And I can say that it absolutely is different, because before it was all about, you know, think of any of the Nike slogans. What can you do? What can, you know, you achieve? And now it's, how can I and we be used, and how can God use us? So it's definitely taken a lot of humility to take this posture, but I know that without God, without Jesus, even these things that are good, you know, doing charity work, good, doing, you know, athletic things, good, but I know how that actually felt very, there wasn't joy because my worth depended on it. So it's hard to enjoy anything if your worth is how much money you raise or how many miles you run. And so now it's just very, very different, and just basically being able to watch what God can do.
Right. And I know that this is kind of interesting. I think you may have known it, but it became profoundly or more prolific, I guess, once you accepted Jesus, that you could partner with ministries on the ground in all these countries and places that you're raising funds for clean water projects. Talk about those connections with ministries and churches and Christians in other parts of the world.
Yeah, so I have been able to partner with some faith-based organizations that are helping deliver both spiritual and physical needs for clean water. And I mean, before Jesus, for me, I got to a point where I was so low that I even thought, what is the point of getting people clean water, because I have clean water and yet I'm miserable and I feel that lack of life without Jesus. So for me, going forward, it's really important to partner with charities that not only meet that physical need, but also demonstrate God's love. Some, you know, I mean, one of my like favorite sayings is that you are the only Bible that some people will ever read. And so I think that finding charities that will go and reach people is a really unique opportunity to reach people that might not listen, might not understand, but they don't need to hear the message. They could see God's love being demonstrated.
Yeah, and just so you all know, we've had a lot of conversation way beyond just this little interview period here, and just understanding Katie's heart pre-Jesus with all these huge endurance events, but there was such an emptiness inside, even at the end of those incredible feats or fulfillment, what you think would fulfill, that did not happen. And now it's changed, especially with boots on the ground people who are not just going to get clean water to people, but they're going to get that clean water in association with the gospel of Jesus. So big difference, big partnership that Katie now has with people all across the world, that the gospel is going to get shared. But I got to ask this question, that just because you have the bigger platform with all the extreme endurance events, you've been on Oprah. I've never been on Oprah. And recently, Katie was on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast, which is like the number one podcast in the world that's listened to. And then also interviewed by Bob Goff recently. If you guys know Bob Goff, he wrote Love Does and had her on his podcast as well. But do you find it easier to share about Jesus because of that? Tell me, or is it harder, like, for the rest of us?
So that was something like before Joe Rogan, because that was kind of recent. I reached out to the East Point community and Graham, and we were talking through, you know, how to share my testimony. And although it didn't come up in that interview, I do think that People who follow adventures, people who follow people who or do their own athletic pursuits, they already are worshiping. They're worshiping when they wake up at 4 a.m. and get their workout. They're worshiping when everything they do is surrounded by that athletic pursuit, whether it's what they eat, what they wear, what they, they're already worshiping. And so I knew that for me, you're always worshiping something. And so I think that athletes and adventurers are a demographic that they might not understand God, but they already know how to worship and worship pretty like significantly. So I think that it's a gold mine for sharing Jesus to people who already know what it is to live a life of commitment.
Right. That's a great, great answer. Whatever way, this is another example of whatever way God wants to use us to get into the lives of people around us on whatever platform it is, whether it's the athletic endurance athlete community or whether it's your neighbor or someone eating ice cream on the street, it doesn't matter. It's what does Jesus want to do with that opportunity to make a difference? And I just got to tell you, there's a lot more to Katie's story that we'll get to a little piece of it. I just wanted to share what's going to happen with her next Run for Water event, just so you can hear what's coming early June here. Why don't you share about that?
So Run for Water is another endurance challenge, and the focus is to help raise funds for 11 water projects in Uganda. So the challenge itself is running 11 ultras in 11 days across the state of Ohio. So an ultra marathon is a 31-mile run. So 31 miles for 11 days, or 341 miles from Cincinnati to Cleveland.
Yeah, it's nothing, really. Yeah. So, as I'm running with her, I'll be thinking about you guys. No, imagine that, running how many miles a day? 31 miles a day for 11 straight days. You wonder how in the world your body could even sustain. But there's some cool things along the way that happen, again, with some boots on the ground people. And I think I know your coordinator.
Yeah,
for boots
great.
On the ground in Ohio. My wife is doing that. She's a networker. My wife knows everybody in Ohio, like everybody. And so she's talking to mayors and chief of police people and all these things. But just tell a little bit about how it's set up and why those people are important at the beginning and at the end.
Yeah, so every morning we'll start with prayer. So someone will meet with me, and there's also like a, it's part of a Guinness World Record, so there has to be witnesses on that journey, but really it's finding pastors that will meet with me every morning and set me off on a note where I'm, yeah, being looked over. So
very cool. And my wife, I'm not kidding, she knows everybody. So she's talking to all these pastors and their wives and chief of police, and they're asking if they can invite people to the beginning or the end of the race and just support and pray. So there's going to be a significant amount of attention drawn to this event, not to mention it's a world record potentially. So lots of things that are happening in her ministry and her move forward to bring water to other nations that need it, but also influence from Jesus to the people around her all the time. Scott Layton, by the way, our own video director, coordinator here, he's going to be on part of that journey with her filming. And can you talk a little bit about what that's going to be?
Yeah, so what really is going to be different, like a lot of adventure films are about the actual achievement and, you know, the purpose. But for us, it's really sharing faith at the end of the day, that we want to take any attention and direct it to what's worth directing it to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff. When Scott Layton was talking to you, he asked a question, like an interview question, like, how might this project fail if it failed? And your answer was pretty insightful to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think in a worldly perspective, it's always, oh, you didn't finish. But as a Christian, it's, oh, you didn't share your faith. You didn't share. And so I feel very confident in Scott, and I don't think we that will be, but as a Christian, I think that would be a huge miss.
Yeah, I think that was what touched me when I heard her say that, and something else about not bringing glory to God would be like an epic failure in this, and that's just so, I just want you to keep Katie in your prayers as she goes and does this, and as Jesus is such an important piece in this for you now, I want us as a church body to pray that he just shines through you. And I think I'm gathering for sure, and I know you guys are too, that while breaking a world record is important, it's not the most important thing. Even getting water to people who are thirsty is not the most important thing, but bringing, as you described it, living water. That was another one of your answers as we were talking, that it's not just water, but it's getting the living water of Jesus into the life of somebody. So cool opportunity, right? For Katie and for us. So yeah, amen. So I'm going to pray over Katie and ask you to do that with me. And we'll throw her website up, or where you can just, if you want to help her out or join her in supporting her 11-day journey of 31 miles every day. Man, you can jump on that website and just support her individually just as you see fit. So let me pray for her, and you can just join me. Father, thank you so much for what we get to see people do in your name, and truly a cup of cold water in Jesus' name is just a great description of this event as Katie seeks to see wells that are dug in places where people have to walk for hours and hours just to get water that's not even clean for their families and the diseases that come alongside of that. Lord, we know that you can bring clean water and fresh water. And as we said, we know ultimately you bring living water. And we pray most of all that in every adventure that Katie has, every move that she makes, that you would add into that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that living water would be poured out on the hearts of everyone who's listening and being a worker in the field, or somebody who's actually doing the drilling of the wells in Uganda, whatever it might take. Lord, may your Holy Spirit just blanket over this whole event in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being with us.
Thank
Appreciate you.
You
sharing that. Yeah, it's great. Thank you. You can leave it. That's good. Thank you. So as we kind of wrap up, one of the accounts of Jesus' miraculous feeding story says that when people saw the multiplying of the fish and the bread, that he must be the Christ, that he must be the Messiah. And I want you to pray that God, whatever he does in you and me and through you and me, and while it may not seem like some extreme event, he determines what's extreme, not us. And if one person hears Jesus and the gospel through you or through me, allow that to be him multiplying. Allow that to be someone saying, you know, I want to know who that Jesus is that you seem to have such a relationship with. Because the people that Jesus fed on that day, here's what they wanted to do. They wanted to come and take Jesus by force and make him their political king. Because who wouldn't want a king who just hands free stuff out to everybody? That's what people think they want. It's just not what they need. And what people need is Jesus. And who people need to become like is Jesus. And so Jesus, he just kind of quietly maneuvered his way through the crowds. They never did find him. He maneuvered his way through the crowds so he could head for the cross. I just want you to think about that. He could have been their political king. I mean, all the popularity and the miraculous power and the free food and free ice cream all day long, every day. And he said, no, I have a more important mission. And so he maneuvered his way through the crowd and he began his journey to the cross so that he could give to us everything we need, everything. And all he's asking us to do is pour out that living water on people who are around us. That's just the only thing he wants. Walk like Jesus, but pour out that living water on the people around us so they can have what we have. Amen? Oh, it's so good. It's a great story. He'll multiply our efforts. Let's just ask him to do that.